Turn over with me to the book of Mark. Thank you for praying for Brother Colopy this week. You were in the hospital, out of the hospital, back in church, all within 5 days. That's great.
That is not typical. That's not how you usually roll, so I'm glad. Good to see Miss Maysoon. Traveled a little bit this week. Dominic has not stopped smiling since Friday, so that's good. And you pray for them, and getting close with child. Mark chapter 10 this morning. Read the first verse and then we'll pray and see what the Lord has for us here this morning. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. God, thank you that Lord, that invitation is still good. As you invite us to come home to you where there's security and provision unlike we've ever experienced outside of it. Lord, if someone here today is wandered, Lord, I pray that they'd return back home. Lord, if someone has never tasted or sat at the table of your goodness, God, I pray that today would be the day. Lord, I pray that for those that are there, Lord, that they'd be encouraged and again just be refreshed at how good it is to be in your presence. Lord, thank you for the songs that we could sing and lift up in heart to you. Lord, I pray now that you'd meet with us here. And Lord, you know the needs far better than I could ever. And Lord, I pray that you'd use this message, this passage, to not only honor and glorify you, but also encourage those that need encouragement. Maybe be a reproach to those that need guidance and direction. Lord, help us now. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 10. We have something quite unique in Mark chapter 10. Something that we don't see in many of the passages. Christ named somebody. Now it says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus. We're not only told his name, we're told about him. We're told that he's blind. This week I had the blessing of having lunch with my friend Dominic. Dominic, you had a birthday, was it Monday? That is correct. Yes, it was this week, right? Yeah, Monday. And so we met for lunch on Tuesday, and we met over one of our favorite places. We went out for pho. That's a Vietnamese soup. Really good and great. Neither of us got it, but we met at the place where they sell it. And he introduced me to another dish. It was, I don't know, it was good. But you don't, in those places, you don't ask what's in there. You just eat what they give you, and you're thankful. But I don't know if you know this, but Dominic has written a children's book. And he had that children's book converted over to Braille. And sent it out and had it done, and super neat. The services that are available to those with difficulties are more available than ever before, may I say. We have schools designed for hearing impaired. Ms. Stephanie Lauk was taught at NTID. That is an engineering school focused in on hearing impaired or deaf. Amazing. When we look back in Bible times, it was not quite the same way. If someone was blind, they're pretty much a hindrance or a weight to the family, and the family would do as much as they possibly could, quite honestly, to separate themselves. Many a times we find those that had those difficulties, unlike today where we have special schools, special teachers, people go to school to learn how to teach those that are impaired. whether it be behavioral or medical, whatever it is, their special education for that wasn't like that. What we often find are these that are without, or these that are lame or hurting, blind, deaf, dumb, any sort of difficulty. What do we see? We see them ostracized from the masses. Time and time again, we'll find Christ or the disciples or people coming by, and what is there? There's a beggar outside of their everyday traffic, and what are they doing? There's something wrong with them. They have no ability to walk. There's no health care. There was no special services. There was no special facility where they could go and get their needs met. I saw online this week this man that was in a he was in a wheelchair. I don't remember if he didn't have legs or had no use of his legs. And his boss adjusted the backhoe that you could, the whole cab came down, and he could ride his wheelchair right into it to get into the cab. That stuff didn't happen back in Mark chapter 10. If you were blind, you were put on the outside of the city, in between places, maybe a highway or whatever, and you would sit there and you would beg. You would beg for your food. You would beg for a little money. Why? Because there was no equal opportunity major companies where the government comes in and says, okay, how many minorities or how many people do you have with difficulties? You need to have this many numbers. I love when I go to Wegmans and you see some of the special needs groups, right? I love it. I think it's wonderful of a program. Absolutely 100% in favor of it. That wasn't the case then. There was no special classes. Many a times we would find that they were uneducated because they could not be educated. Many a times they were left. We see no family. We see no friends around. We see just alone. And here that's where we find blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, here he is in between us. City. There they are. Christ and his disciples are heading out of Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho, his disciples and a great number of people. So here Christ is leaving Jericho, followed by what we would consider a very large entourage of people. Say, why are they following? Because it's Christ. We're in Mark chapter 10. We've already experienced a significant number of miracles and teachings. At this point, he has a lot of followers. At this point, multiple people have touched the hem of his garment. Multiple people have been given sight. Multiple people have been made whole by Christ. Multiple miracles have happened. So yeah, he has a multitude following him. And in the midst of the multitude, it says this. I love this. And a great number of people, and he picks out one. He says there was a great number of people, and then by the wayside, son of Timaeus, is blind Bartimaeus. There he sits, and we all think of it, ragged clothes, right? You can see him. Ragged clothes, hair's a mess. Why? Because he's blind. He's dirty. He smells. Could you imagine living in the Middle East with no care? He's probably thin. Why? Because his only source of income is what people would generously give. And there he sits by the roadside, simply begging. See, it's not that safe to be close to the road. There was a lot of foot traffic back then. Didn't have to worry about cars. And there he sat by. And as people would call or walk by, he would call out and ask for food. But we see him named. You understand, so few times in the scriptures do we see names given to those that Christ helped. Bartimaeus is only mentioned one time in the scriptures. You say, where is that? Mark chapter 10. The story is told three times. This is one. But he's only mentioned once. I think it's no coincidence of what book he's mentioned in. Book of Mark. If we study our Gospels out and we know about the Gospels, Jesus Christ is presented as the King in Matthew. And Luke, the Son of Man. But in Mark, the servant. Mark, the servant, pens another servant's name. Bartimaeus. Rarely are we given the names of those who Christ touched. Remember the woman that was begging bread at the... Don't know her name. Remember the one that touches his garment? Don't know his name. Remember the nobleman's son? Don't know their names. But we know Bartimaeus' name. So I ask myself the question. Why did he mention him by name? Why didn't he just say there was a man? Why are we told about Bartimaeus? Maybe you have thoughts. I had a thought. Because I wonder if Bartimaeus goes on to do great things. I wonder if Bartimaeus, I know we don't have record of it, but I wonder if Bartimaeus turns his world upside down. I wonder if he goes on to, and Christ forever wanted to record an eternal history where he found Bartimaeus. See, it doesn't matter where he finds you. It's what happens after that makes the difference. Hey, we are all found in a mess. I know we all drove here in vehicles, maybe got bussed in, whatever it is. And maybe we would distinguish the class of person based on the vehicle that they came in. Oh, you're well. Oh, you got a new. Your car's within a decade. Oh man, you are. Woo! But Christ found us all in the same state. And here in the midst of a multitude of people, Christ sees an individual. Hey, understand this. This morning, in the midst of whatever it is that you're involved in, or wherever you feel like no one knows, God knows you by name. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows the circumstances around you. Yes, I understand that you might feel like there's a multitude here. And then there's blind Bartimaeus. Hey, understand that God not only values the multitude, but he values the individual. One among so many. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 says this. I'll read it to you. Matthew 10:29 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered." And then he says these words, "Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than the sparrows." So who are we talking about? We're talking about a blind beggar, and God had value in him. God saw value in a blind, helpless, hopeless, vagabond, homeless beggar. Uneducated, no wealth, no class, no status. And God knows exactly everything about him. You understand that he knows the same about you. Say, "I'm not blind or begging. I'm pretty well off." He knows your circumstances. Without Christ, you're hopeless. And there we find our main character, Bartimaeus, sitting by the side of the road, begging. And he would do that every day. Well, this day was different. there, blind Bartimaeus, where he sat every day. Maybe he slept there at night, and when he felt the warmth of the sun on his face, heard foot traffic, and all of a sudden it started getting busy down Jericho Road, he'd wake up. Could you imagine not being able to see? Last night, anybody see the sunset? Oh man, imagine never seeing that. Never see a smile. All the things that you miss out on. There's that blind Bartimaeus. Every day, begging. One among so many. In verse 47, and when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus comes unhinged. He comes undone. He hears a multitude passing by. And he calls out and says, hey, who's walking by? Who's there? Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. And he began to shout and cry, screaming like a buffoon, annoying people. So how do you know? Verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal. He turned up the volume, it says. Maybe he stood, jumped around, screaming, drawing attention. Why? Because his hope was passing by. His only chance was passing by. He screamed yet the more, a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't cry out, I deserve to see. No, he just pleaded for mercy. He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Point number two. First, we saw one among so many. Secondly, we see the cry of the blind. He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. What does that mean? That means the name of Christ preceded Christ. When Jesus of Nazareth walked by, blind Bartimaeus knew who that was. He knew who was going by. He knew the stories. He knew that he could be helped. And that's why he cried out, thou Son of David. It acknowledges, look, I mean, to call him the Son of David, that indicates that he had some knowledge of something of the scriptures in some way. Because is Jesus the Son of David? No, it would be almost normal if he said, Son of Joseph and Mary, Jesus of Nazareth, please come here. No, but he calls him the Son of David, indicating this man knew who was walking by. Look at Psalm 46. Keep your hand in Mark chapter 10. Or if you don't, you'll just have to go back and find it. I mean, you can. I'm not telling you what to do. It would be helpful to you. Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. Why on earth was Bartimaeus making himself a fool calling out to Christ? Because Christ was the only help for him. In his trouble, he was his only help. Hey, there's going to be things that come by your way, that come down your life, and you might try and fix it yourself, and you might try and handle it yourself, but understand this, that there are going to be things in your life that only Christ can help. That there's no pill, there's no prescription, there's no course of action, there's nothing outside of Christ that can help you. And Bartimaeus recognized that. So you're talking illness? I'm talking everything. I'm talking everything. 1 week ago today, Brother Turner was sitting right there. Now Mrs. Turner's sitting in a quiet house. So how did... God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. There are going to be things that come up in your life that Christ is the only answer. He is the source of our help. Oh, that we would cry out to God. But instead we... Hey, can you help me? Can you help me? Can I tell you? Some people are limited. There was no one else that could have helped Bartimaeus outside of Christ. But yet, so many times we're so reluctant to cry out to Him. So reluctant. We try and do it ourselves. We try and... Have you cried out to Christ? We, this past year for, I can't remember, it was either my birthday or Christmas, I got 4 tickets to the Cleveland Indians game. And my dad and my 2 oldest boys, we all went to Cleveland. And did we spend the night? I think we spent the night. And there we were. And we're all, we got there as early as we possibly could. To be able to watch them practice a little bit. And there we are. And Sam and I, we have favorite players. And there's our baseball cards walking around. You know what I mean? Like, there's Francisco Lindor. I mean, like, the shortstop for the Indians is warming up right there. There's Trevor Bauer throwing it from one outfield to the next outfield, warming up to pitch. Unbelievable. And we're calling out their names. They didn't care. They didn't come up. Nick, I am so glad you came. Would you travel like 4 hours? Oh, I'm so glad you're here today. Didn't know me. I think it had something to do with the fact that my second youngest son was wearing a Yankees hat. We're walking through the stadium and the usher is like, "Sir, you can go right over there and get yourself a real hat." Send him to the store. But we're crying out, "Hey, throw us the ball, throw us the ball, throw us the ball." Pretty lady up in the outfield gets it. "Throw us the ball, throw us the ball, throw us the ball." 5-year-old kid with his hat, you know. "Come talk to me." Jesus Christ crying out. He has a multitude. There's a great number of people, it says in verse 46. And there's this blind beggar, and he's making himself a fool, screaming and yelling, "Jesus of Nazareth, Son of David, have mercy on me!" And that was before they told him to simmer down. And Jesus walking by, what does he do? "Stop." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, right? In verse 49. Look at this. Look at verse 49. Mark chapter 10 and verse 49. And Jesus stood still. Hey, you know when you cry out to God for help and you plead with Him and you cry for mercy, you know what just happened? The Savior of the world, the one that made all of this, stopped and recognized Bartimaeus. It'll be no different for you and I. And Jesus stood still. commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. The notice of the Savior. Christ stopped. It said he stood still. If you've ever been in a group of people and to be able to pick out one individual voice is very difficult. Christ did that, stopped what he was doing, calls him to himself. What a personal touch. Go get Bartimaeus. Bring Bartimaeus over to me. The Bible says, and they said, Be of good comfort, arise, he calleth. He didn't say, he said thee. Hey, bring me Bartimaeus. Again, if I was at the Indians game, hey, throw me the ball. Francisco Lindor looks up at me and goes, Nick, it is so good to see you. Here you go, buddy. He called me. He called me by name. He knows me. Bartimaeus, called by the Savior. Hey, we've all experienced that call in our life. Because no man cometh unto the Father except to be called. And there we're given the greatest introduction of all time. A sinful man standing before a holy, righteous Savior. Christ calls him to himself. Personal touch. Love these verses in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, right? What does he say? Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, and I will give you rest. Hey, just come here. Look at Mark chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And verse 12. See, this is strange. This is somewhat uncharacteristic of Christ. No. Luke chapter 14, verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor the rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again for a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Here we're given this parable, and Christ says, No, know who he invites? Those that need help. I don't know if you're aware of this, and maybe this is an anomaly or an enlightenment moment, but the people that you're sitting around need help. Say, no, that I'm sitting next to this guy. He's got it all together. Look at him. He's got a shirt and tie, and you see the cars. We all need help. If we're at this table with Christ, we are hopeless. That's why we're here. If I didn't need him, I wouldn't be here. That's why when we knock on certain doors, Sir, can I tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ? No, I'm all set. And you're missing out on a feast. No, I'm all set. But here, the Savior takes notice of Bartimaeus. He stood still. He stopped what he was doing in the midst of the multitude and saw one individual. Mark chapter 10. We're almost done. Mark chapter 10. When I say we're almost done, that means I can almost see page 2. That's what we mean. Mark chapter 10. Be of good comfort. Arise, he calleth thee. This is really important, so I want you to get a handle on this. And he, casting away his garment, arose and came to Jesus. I'm not going to ask if any of you have ever found yourself homeless. That'd be embarrassing and heartbreaking all at the same time. But if you've ever seen someone maybe that was homeless, I don't mean to categorize or any. I'm just, my personal experience is connected to this. When we were in Puerto Rico, we saw a bunch. It's beautiful, beautiful weather down there. Hey, if you're going to be homeless, Puerto Rico is where it's at. Other than the hurricanes, it's really nice. And there you'll see a person sitting on the way, and they have about four or five things next to them. And that's all they have. A blanket, a covering of some sort. And the Bible says this in Mark chapter 10 and verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, arose and came to Jesus. Cast away his garment. A poor man would have one coat to his name. This would not only act as a daily covering, but also nightly protection from the elements. For a homeless beggar, this was his only sense of ownership and security. As crazy as that sounds. This is what he was identified as. This was what protected him. And what does he do? He shed all his personal securities to come to Christ. Casting away his garment, rose. This is a blind man. This is a blind beggar. He doesn't have anything. And he took the one thing, the most valuable thing to him, and he put it aside and came to Christ. Surely we could learn something from that, yes? The most valuable thing in our life needs to be shed aside when we come to Christ. Our own personal securities need to be let go. So the question is, what are you holding on to? Have you cast away your garment? Those who would come to Jesus must cast away the garment of their own sufficiency. Must free themselves of every weight and that sin which does so easily beset them. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. This was this man's identity. This was this man's security. This was this man's protection. This was all he had. It's kind of like the woman that gave him the two mites. Say, oh, it's nothing. It's everything to him. It was his everything. He took aside, he set aside his garment. And he arose. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to in your relationship with Christ? This man was quite remarkable. Number one, he understood who Christ was. Number two, he understood what it took to get to Christ. He took it off. He set it aside, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Verse 51. Mark chapter 10 and verse 51. See, what are your points? All right, here we go. He was one among so many. Number two, we see the cry of the blind. Number three, the notice of the Savior. Number four, the casting of the garment. Number five, the healing of the beggar. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Could you imagine Jesus coming up to you and saying, what can I do for you today? I mean, he stopped the caravan of people. There he was. He's outside of Jericho. There's a man going crazy. I'm sure he saw it all the time. And he comes up to blind Bartimaeus. Maybe he touches him in his hand because he can't see him. Gets real close. Bartimaeus not knowing where to look. What can I do for you? What do you want? What do you need? He says this. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Gave him a blank check. just happened to have a blank check in my possession. It's a nice one. You know, it's got her name on it, address. Not filled out, but imagine if I gave this to you. All right, whatever you need, go ahead. Oh. Now, the check is only as good as, well, the backing of the check. Dollar store's right around the corner if you need anything. Five Below in Greece. But how about the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? What about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world? And he looks down upon you and says, what would you like? He says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I think that was pretty selfish of him. Why didn't he ask for world peace? Why didn't he ask for his sins to be made whole? I think we'll see in the passage. This beggar, Bartimaeus, had something that we have yet to experience. He heard the audible voice of God. Jesus communicating personally with him. Now I've experienced it in my heart. But I can't pick out the audible voice of God, but I can certainly pick out the leading of the Holy Spirit in my life. Can you hear God when He talks to you? My man was blind, but he wasn't deaf. Lastly, we see why he wanted to be given his sight. In verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He sends him away. He says, hey, all right. We see no mud. We see no spitting on his eyes. We see no go washing in the Jordan 15 times or 7 times. We see no stand on your head and spin around 5 times. He just says, you can see. The very first thing he sees, what does he see? Jesus himself. Pretty much from there, everything's a step down, right? I mean, you're looking in the face of the Savior. And he says, go back home now. Hey, go your way. But that's not what Bartimaeus does. See, Bartimaeus is a blind man. There are certain things that he could do. He could listen. He could wake up and he could hear the birds chirping. He could have a conversation with people. He could beg and he could cover himself. He could do certain things. But there are certain things that a blind man cannot do. Follow. A blind man can't follow somebody else. Because he can't see him. When sent away, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and follow Jesus in the way. He didn't go his way. He went Christ's way. See, when Christ made him whole, he opened up his eyes to things, and he says, now I can do the thing I've always wanted to do and could never. Follow Christ. Do you understand? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are now opened up to a whole new thing. That you'll be able to see things that you've never seen before. The Word of God becomes a compass for our life. The Holy Spirit of God now indwells in us. And we become a follower of Christ. Matthew 15:14 says this, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch, right? We don't follow blind people. Secondly, not only could he not follow, he could never lead. But now, again, I have to ask myself the question, why are we told his name? Maybe he becomes, maybe Bartimaeus becomes a great leader. We don't know. We're told that he follows Christ. Hey, that's a good first step. If you're here this morning and you're wondering, I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know what to do with my life. Hey, first step is always following Christ. You'll not go wrong following Christ. You'll go terribly wrong leading your own way. You will end up in a ditch. I'm going to follow that guy. Don't follow that guy. Follow Christ. But not only follow Christ, lead someone else to Christ. Lead someone else to Christ. We saw the healing of the beggar. Second, lastly, we see him following in his faith. And I'm thankful the day the Lord opened up my eyes. I was 10. But I'm thankful for it. Gave me a whole new light on this world. Gave me direction. Gave me hope. If you're here this morning and you have no hope, no direction for your life, maybe it's because you're blind and can't see Christ. Maybe you don't know where he is. Maybe you're like blind Bartimaeus. Oh, there's some audible noise around me, but it's just not clear. It wasn't until the touch of the Lord in his life was he able to follow in the way. Let's all stand. Blind Bartimaeus, a blind man. What was one among so many? It was enough to make Christ stand still. Maybe you're seeking direction for your life. Say, what should I do? Follow Jesus in the way. Follow Jesus in the way. The very first thing that man saw was Jesus Christ himself. And instead of going his own way, it says, go thy way. No, instead he went Jesus' way. Hey, this morning, instead of going your way, why don't you go Jesus' way? Why don't you turn course? Now that you can see him, why don't you follow? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. And God, thank you for being much like blind Bartimaeus. I was hopeless. Had no direction, knew nothing of you. Lost. Lord, I was lost, but you came by, you stopped, and you met my greatest need. God, thank you. God, as we go through life, Lord, help us to always follow thee. Lord, maybe this morning there's some that just want to recommit that to you. Just tell that to you again. Lord, I don't want to go in my way. I want to follow thee. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message this morning? Maybe instead of going your own way, you want to go the way of Jesus. Say, what does that mean? How do I do that? Get sights on him and follow him. Hey, if you're here this morning and you're blind, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you allow him to take the scales off? Give you sight? You got to be first willing to cast away your garments. Hey, you're going to have to get rid of your own personal securities. You're going to have to give up your will. You're going to have to give it all up to come to Christ. Because he is the only way of salvation.